Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? We're so glad to have you all here with us this morning. Sorry we're starting a little bit late, but that's okay. We're making sure we're tuned up on the guitars there. If you don't mind, get your Bibles out and turn to the book of James. We should be finishing up this morning. And we're going to move on to the epistle of 1 Peter afterwards. We might as well just move right along the course. We started with Hebrews, and then we went into James, and then we'll just go right into 1 Peter, because I think 1 Peter, just like the rest of the Bible, is very important, and there's so much to glean and to learn from in that particular epistle. And so we're right now in James chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to ask for God's blessing upon our time together. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. We do ask, Lord, that you would bless our time together from the beginning to the very end. And I ask that, Lord Jesus, you truly would be the one that would receive all praise, honor, and glory. Lord, we desire that you alone would be exalted in our midst. And so we give you this time asking that you'd bless our discipleship together. We ask for your anointing and your blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. And amen. The book of James, as we've stated many a time, and now that we're at the close, was written by, of course, James, the half-brother of Jesus. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem for many, many years, until the time of his martyrdom. James was asked to speak to the Jews concerning Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees, the leaders, the religious leaders of that day, assumed that James would speak against Christ, where instead of that, James spoke for Christ. And sometimes when you make a stand for Jesus, the religious spirits out there don't like it. And so he was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple, was eventually stoned, and then he was beaten down by a club to finally end his life in death. James was a godly man, and God used him to write this epistle. As we stated as well, the book of James can be considered like a book of Christian proverbs because of its practicality. The fact that there are so many things that affect you and I as Christians and how we live our lives. And so we closed last time on number 12 in the notes, if you still have them. We'll be finishing this off, and I'll give you a new set of notes for Peter. But we were talking about prayer for the sick. Prayer for the sick. And in reality, the whole subject of prayer is brought out, and we kind of hit on it quickly. But there is a procedure for healing in the sense that whenever we're afflicted, we are to pray. There is never anything wrong in you and I coming to God in prayer. There's actually everything good about it. God desires to hear our voice, and God knows our every need. But when we come to God in prayer, and especially when we're afflicted, God will heal our bodies. It also said when we're merry, then we should sing. And I mentioned the last time how that God puts within our hearts, through our born-again experience, a song in our hearts. It's a beautiful thing. Where there was never a song before, now there is a song. And sometimes we can't help but sing. Amen? Sometimes we can sing good and sometimes we can't, but that's okay. God's not looking at the sound of our voice. He's listening to the heart anyways. Amen? I remember Pastor Carter Conlin from Times Square Church had mentioned how that he was a sheep farmer. He was a sheep herder for many, many years. He raised sheep. And he was talking about how all the different sheep had their own unique sound. But he was talking about this one ram that was extremely loud, and when it burst out with its particular noise that a ram would make, he said it sounded awful. And he was just relaying in the same way that we as Christians and we as human beings, we have our own voice, don't we? And sometimes our voices can come out nice and in tune, but there's some that are tone deaf. How many of you know what that means? Tone deaf. That means try as you may, you just can't sing. That's okay. It doesn't matter. But when there's a song in our hearts, even if our hum or our song is out of tune, God's not listening to the tune. He's listening to the heart. Amen? And he puts a song in our hearts, and it says, when we're merry, let's go out and sing. And then if we're sick, it says, call the church elders to pray so we can anoint with oil and pray that prayer of faith. It's very important to know that the prayer of faith is a simple prayer believing God for healing. The healing is not coming from the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist. There's no such thing as a divine healer in regards to the ministry. Did you know that? There's no such thing as divine healers in the kingdom of God. There isn't. So we see someone like, you know, an evangelist on television, and they're known as, for those that are used for healing, it's that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of healing operates through that individual, but it's God that heals. Amen? There are no divine healers, but there is divine healing. And God will use, could use any of us that are full of the Holy Spirit at a particular time to pray. And God can use us to work divine healing through. The gift of healing can flow through us. Amen? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. I remember there was a young woman, a young lady, her name was Melissa Donovan, one of the students that came to our school there in Pennsylvania. And she relayed a story how that she had went on a mission trip there to Africa. I don't remember the specific place, but she went there and she was ministering with the kids, the children, and had the opportunity to even pray for people. And she says how that she there, as people came to her for prayer, she laid her hands on them by faith and prayed, and people were healed as a result of her prayers. Now, it wasn't that she was a divine healer, but God used her to bring healing to people. Amen? Amen. And so, when we talk about calling the elders of the church to anoint with oil and pray, there is something about that step of faith that one takes. Amen? And God responds to that faith. It says there, now let's just read it again, verse 13 of chapter 5. It says, if anyone among you is suffering, well, let him pray, or afflicted. Is anyone merry? Let him sing psalms. That means songs. And is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Continues, of course, to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Now, let me just say something in regards to that. Confessing our faults to one another. There is a place for us to be able to relay the fact that we have faults. How many of you know that we all have faults? None of us have arrived. I, as your pastor, haven't arrived. I am not perfect. I can guarantee you that. I'm human. Amen? But there is something in regards to being able to be free with one another, to relay our faults. Amen? But there's also an element here you've got to understand, that we don't just go and tell everybody everything. Amen? I mean, as godly as that other person may seem, they're still human and have the potential of sometimes saying something that maybe they shouldn't have said. And so be very wise and discerning in regards to who you open your hearts to. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say it again. Be very wise and discerning as to who you do open your heart to. Don't just go share everything with everybody, because not everybody can be trusted. But thank God when you have a godly friend, amen, a godly person, a godly Christian counselor, a godly pastor, a godly minister of the gospel that you can meet with, you can express your heart with. I'm telling you, you can share it all. And you can trust that person that they're not going to go and spread it all to everybody who's out there. Amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? So be very wise and discerning. Pray about who you do share your heart with. But there are times when we can relay our faults one to another. But if you're going to go deep and unravel the depths, I'm talking about the depths. You know what I mean? We've all got depths. You know, we got to be careful who we do open up ourselves to. Be very prayerful about who that is, because you don't want it to go out there and then people just talk and, you know, give them fuel for fire. God forbid. Brother Jerry.
Does that mean that I shouldn't put anything on Facebook?
Oh, you better watch out for Facebook. That's a fire ground right there, man. Those are embers you can kick up very easy and get a fire burning really quick. Yeah. That's one of the downfalls with a place like Facebook, or there's other places known as Bebo or Google Plus, right? Is it Google Plus? I think that's what it is. But these social places, yeah, you got to be very careful what you put there. You know, nowadays, you know, you want to get hired somewhere, you know, some of those leaders or your boss can go right into Facebook and check out exactly who you are, because people are just exposing themselves. And it's not a good thing. Amen. Be very wise as Christians, as parents. Be very wise what you put on those social networking sites, or even just who you talk to, because, you know, God forbid there's just talk going on behind your back. Amen. Encourage your children if they're still under your roof and they're maybe have a Facebook account. Encourage them. Talk to them about what they're putting on those MySpace, Facebook accounts, because sometimes they're putting too much out there and they're exposing themselves and it's just hurting them. It's not helping them at all. We're living in that kind of day where we got to be very much aware as far as what our children are doing online. If they have Facebook, get Facebook, become their friend so that you know exactly what they're putting on there. You follow what I'm saying? So that you're aware of what your children are doing. Amen? And if they want to take you off as their friend and keep you out of their Facebook account, I think some red flags need to go up and start wondering, what are you putting there that you don't want me to see? Amen? They need to be able to trust us, and we should be able to let them have their freedom. But at the same time, be discerning as far as what they're posting, because you just never know.
I'm just saying that everything that you post on Facebook sometimes didn't even mean anything.
Yeah.
But for somebody else, it's like something out of hand, and
yeah,
it just starts a fire, right?
Oh, it can turn into a big mess. You know, email, texting, you know, there's texting language. You know, you may just have a bad day and just be short on it. You say, I'm okay. The other person is interpreting it totally different. They're in a bad mood, or, oh, they don't want to talk to me today. And sometimes there is a limit to our communications via the electronic medium. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about emails, texting, stuff like that. You know, there's you can yell through texting. Did you know that? You capitalize all your letters and put exclamation points, and you've just yelled on it, right? Or sometimes you really try to cover it up with big smiley faces, the emoticons, right? And there's different language that there is there, and so we sometimes got to just be very discerning. You know, I remember working there at the ministry in Pennsylvania, and sometimes it would be easier to want to rebuke someone via the email instead of walking into their room and saying, you know, telling them what needs to be said. You know, sometimes it's easier to hide behind your office and just send the email real quick. But it's actually better to go into the room so that they see your heart. You see, your heart is never seen via the email or the text or the Facebook. Amen? So you walk in there and you talk to them and let them know where you're coming from, and they hear your heart rather than seeing a text and misunderstanding it. Anyways, something else. Just be careful in regards to who you confess your faults to on the one hand, but on the other hand, we should be mature enough with each other that we will give room for each and every one of us to grow. Amen? We need to be like that. We need to give room for everyone to grow and be human, make mistakes. But if you have to really empty it all out, find a godly, sincere person that you can trust before you unload the depths. Amen? And so prayer, in the notes, it went on to confession. Confession. If we've wronged a brother, we should confess it now. If we need to pray for a brother, then let's do it now. And so as we do it, that person will be healed or restored to a spiritual tone in heart and mind as well as body. And he gave, of course, Elijah as an example of a person that prayed prayers to such an extent that when Elijah prayed, he said, Lord, don't let it rain. And the rain stopped for 3.5 years. That's a long time. Can you imagine what would happen here in the San Luis Valley for no rain for 3.5 years? That would rock Center Colorado for sure, right? Because, I mean, the agricultural center here. But 3.5 years it didn't rain. And then at the close of those 3.5 years, he got on his face before God and prayed again, and it rained. But the thing about Elijah was that he was human just like you and me. And if God will answer Elijah's prayers, he'll answer ours. Amen. We've got to believe, of course. We can't come in doubting. We must have true faith in a God that does answer prayer. But you know what? God will answer our prayers. Thank God for it. I remember the stories of Catherine Kuhlman. How many ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman before? I'm sure some of maybe even remember her television show. Catherine Kuhlman was known as one of those evangelists that God used in the arena of healing. But the touch of God was upon the woman. She was not out there to try to bring people to herself. She was literally a broken woman. There was a time in her life when she was walking down this road and she came to the sign, and the sign was a dead end sign, and she says that it was there that Catherine Kuhlman died. And it was there that God began to take her life and use it to such a powerful extent, because it was no more about Catherine Kuhlman but all about Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? That's why sometimes God will wait on using us, because there's still too much of us in the way. There's got to come the place where we will be totally devoid of ourselves, and it's no longer I who live, as Paul said, but it's Christ that lives in me. And God began to use her ministry in a very powerful way to pray for people and for people to get healed. Most of the time, it wasn't when she prayed for them. Most of the time, they were healed without her ever laying a hand on those people in her services, as God, the Holy Ghost, touched them. And it's powerful to hear those stories. Smith Wigglesworth, he's one of those old-time Pentecostals who God used in that arena to pray for people and things to happen. And, you know, we hear those stories of these godly men or godly women, and we admire them. But I want to say something. In the same way that God used them and Elijah, God can use us. But we've got to believe God. Amen. Ask God, use me. Help me to live a life that will bring glory and honor to you, and never try to take the glory upon myself. Amen. See, God doesn't share his glory with anybody else. Amen. We give him all the glory. We know it's not about us. We know it isn't us. It's him. And so we give God all the praise and all the glory. But Elijah was an example, but he was human and subject to the same temptations and frailties. And yet when he prayed, things happened. And so let's finish this off with turning back the wayward brother. This is where we were. James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And it says this: "Brothers, if any of you stray from the truth and someone corrects him, let him know that he who converts the sinner from the error of his way will save the soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." That's a beautiful section, isn't it? The believing God for the restoration of those that have lost their way. There have been those that have been in church, raised in church, and then they, for some reason or another, end up stopping church. They end up forgetting about serving God, and they've become a wayward brother, amen, or a sister. And what we need to do is be a people about turning back the wayward brother, amen, not talking about them behind their back, instead praying for them. Amen. I know that there are people here in Center Colorado who at one time were members of this church. Amen. And then not only this church, but maybe even any of the other churches that are here that follow God. Amen. And they sincerely serve God. They wanted God, maybe even prayed the sinner's prayer. But for some reason or another, maybe something happened in the church that discouraged them and they left. A church split happened and now they're just lost their faith. Maybe they just got hooked up into sin or wrong crowd and now they're not in church anymore. What we need to do is pray for those individuals. Amen. Pray that God will move upon their heart, that God will deal with them. When they're alone in the house, that God's Holy Spirit will begin to draw their hearts. Amen. It's beautiful when God is dealing with their hearts, because God is drawing them. God is winning them. Amen? But we should be about their restoration, okay? Listen to this. Restoration should be our goal, not destruction. Never destruction. We don't pray, I mean, we don't talk behind their backs. Don't say, hey, did you know that so-and-so's doing this now? And instead we're looking down on them. No, instead we should get a burden and begin to even potentially weep for their souls. Amen? That soul is precious in the sight of God. Even if they're mocking God, even if they're ridiculing everything you stand for, sometimes that's a cover-up for the pain that they have on the inside. Amen? They're just trying to make you believe that they're not hurting. But most of the time, there's pain in their hearts, and they're covering it up with their reactions. We must do everything possible to turn back to God those who stray from the truth. And it should be a high priority within the church, within this church here in Center Colorado, Center Assembly of God. It should be one of our priorities to look for the restoration of those individuals who have backslidden. Amen? If a backslider comes back to God, the one who converts him or her will save the soul of that sinner from death. And it can be described as spiritual death and even eternal separation from God. You know, if that soul does not get right with God and chooses to remain away from God and at peace with God, then there is the only reality of actual death. Amen? Spiritual death is separation from God. You know, they need to be at peace with God, and so converting them is a beautiful thing and bringing them back. You know, death can also mean a premature physical death. A premature physical death. If a person turns from God and they're not at peace with God, then of course there is a separation from God. Amen? But when sin begins to have its way within that individual, sin begins to ravage that life, there is the potential of even a premature death. Did you hear what I just said? It's not that God wants them to die. They're bringing death upon themselves. Amen? Think about it. Sometimes, the person out there, they once served God, they stray away, they get sick, and then they're cursing God and saying, God, it's your fault. When in reality, it has nothing to do with God. If they would just serve God, God would be able to heal. Amen? Or God would have kept them from all that, but they chose their own way. And so we need to remember that. Never to accuse God wrongly. Amen? But, you know, that person that may be sin is ravaging their life, if they will turn to God, God is a God that's able to restore. Amen? He is able to do that. And he's able to restore relationships. He's able to heal physical bodies. He's able to do things that, of course, we cannot do in and of our own selves, our own strength. But turning back the wayward brother should be our desire. Amen? There, of course, restoration should be our goal, not destruction. And so, what did you all think about the book of James? Brother Robert?
I don't mean to throw you down right there. You know, God's been dealing with that very same thing.
Yeah?
You know, we see someone that maybe falling away, they've gotten away from God and all that. First thing we do, it's so easy to talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think sometimes when we're praying for somebody, we're looking at what they're doing as the problem. And the problem is not what they're doing. That's just the result.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
When we're praying and to pray effectively for somebody, whether they're saved or not, we need to see what God sees.
Yeah.
To see the heart. Ask him to see the heart, because like I said, the things that they're doing, the life they're living, is just a result of where the heart is.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if we're wasting our time and God's time praying that, God quit, or help him to quit doing this or start doing that or whatever, we're just wasting God's time with that. I think.
Oh, yeah.
We're not dealing with the heart problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother Robert is correct. Sometimes we're looking at the result of their turning from God and maybe talking about it or wondering about it, when in reality, the whole heart issue is missed. I mean, they're only manifesting where their heart already is. And we've got to take the time to really understand that at times. Amen? Sometimes when you think about people that have been hurt in the church, because it happens, it's a sad thing. The majority of people that backslid out of church left because the church itself hurt them. And it's sad because they're carrying these pains, these things, and it brings a misunderstanding of God. You know, of all places where people should be healed and find the presence of God, it's in the church. And it's sad when you have an immature church, did you hear what I just said? An immature one. And it begins to react in the flesh and hurts those that are coming for help. You know, that's why you have that accusation among so many outside the church. It's just full of hypocrites. How many of you heard that? The church is full of hypocrites. Now, obviously, the church is full of people that aren't perfect. There's no doubt about that. But it should be our prayer as a church that we would be mature, that when people come through those doors, that they will have and meet the heart of God through us. Amen? That's why it's whenever someone comes in those doors, we respond in a godly, sincere way. We shake their hands. We tell them a good God bless you. Amen. And tell them you're welcome. But that we are prayerful for them as well, that God will touch them. You know, God wants to mature us in that way. But it's sad that so many get hurt in church. You know, the enemy will try to get the church into the flesh to bring division, to bring wars and fights. Remember, James talked about that a little bit earlier. Why are there wars and fights among you? Doesn't it come from those, the reality of that unsurrendered part that doesn't want to give all to God? And, you know, God wants to bring healing and blessing, and it should be our prayer as a church that we would be mature. Amen. Especially for those that whenever we see them outside and we see them maybe in their sin or in the thing that they're doing wrong, instead of criticizing them, instead of even kicking them while they're down, understand that there's more to what they're doing than the fact that they're just doing that. Amen? What hurt them? What discouraged them? What was missed? What can we do to change so that that doesn't happen again? Amen? What's their need? Where are they coming from? You follow what I'm saying? And there's so many things we need to think about and pray about. God, help us to be discerning as far as why they're out there. Or is there something that we did? Now, obviously, that's not always the case. Amen? Sometimes the enemy just comes in hard and tries to discourage them. It's just like the sower and the seed, right? You know, that he was throwing the seed and it came on that hard, rocky ground and it wasn't able to bear root. And sometimes that does happen. But Lord willing, we would be a people that would nurture their faith instead of destroy it. Amen. Through our own attitudes or our own selfish ways. God forbid. Amen. God help us to be mature.
Like you said too, or I'm guilty about it too, that it's not just helping that person, because God is just trying to use you so you can grow up as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's be telling you, you know, to help this person, and he's helping you to get more.
Exactly. You know, more mature, or even more able to minister and help those that are in need. You know, if God's putting something on your heart to help someone, obey him. Sometimes they won't accept that help. Sometimes it's hard to understand why God is saying to do that. But just believe God and step out in faith. And you'll never know unless you step out what God can do through you. Amen. There may be times when you're there at the store and God will tell you, go tell them about my love. Amen. Tell them I love him or her. And you step out by faith and God will speak to their hearts. You know, you're planting seeds that way. You know, and God is able to water those seeds and eventually turn it around for their salvation in the end. Amen. And so definitely, Brother Robert, you're right. It's so easy to see sometimes the thing that they're doing, but not see the heart or the reasons as to why they're there. Amen. He's got to pray, oh God, help us to be very wise and discerning in these days.